admit from a perspective of people into the future. We've always celebrated at this time of year Jesus' baptism. We have Christmas, and then about 12 days later it's Epiphany, and then the Sunday after Epiphany is baptism of the Lord. You didn't know it, but like that thing happens every year, right? So we know that this has happened, but John is going around baptizing people out of a baptism of repentance, right? A baptism of I sinned or I believed wrong and now I want to be right and I want to be right with God. And Jesus comes to John and says, I want to be baptized. John is a little confused. Jesus answers him, allow me to be baptized now. This is necessary to fulfill all righteousness. Now, we don't necessarily know that John understood, but he agreed. Let that be the life of a disciple. So John agreed to baptize Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, he immediately came up out of the water. Now, I find this interesting. We're not going to dwell on it. But in Mark, everything happens immediately. Y'all ever notice that? Mark is an immediate person. He's his shortest gospel. If you like short meetings and executive summaries, Mark's your gospel. Matthew is not, all right? But right now, Jesus immediately comes up out of the water. Heaven was open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and resting on him. We have symbols amongst our congregation. You can see the baptism over here, but we also have the dove up because it's a sign to us of the Holy Spirit. We celebrate it on Pentecost as well. A voice from heaven said, this is my son, whom I dearly love. And in this translation, it says, I find happiness in him. This is my son, whom I dearly love. I find happiness in him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So now I set up this question just a second ago as we kind of worked on a little bit of tension this morning. But why was Jesus baptized? Why did Jesus need to be baptized? It can be rhetorical unless you got an answer perfectly. All right, if you just throw it out. Jimmy? No? Anybody? No? Do what? To fulfill Scripture. Yeah, that's great. Absolutely. Why was Jesus baptized? Now, you see, I mentioned it just a minute ago, but a lot of times we look at baptism as this sinner's and repentant act, right? And when we go out into the world and we begin to talk to our brothers and sisters who come from different traditions, they kind of rib us a little bit for sprinkling babies, don't they? I know they do. You don't have to nod. It's okay. But yes, absolutely. My family are all Baptist, and it's not to pick on the Baptists. I'm not. But they come home, and they still can't understand, and they wonder when I'm going to convert to Christianity, right? But we have this interesting thing in this moment, right? Jesus is not coming for a baptism of repentance. Jesus is not coming as a sinner. Jesus is not coming to make a public profession of faith. Jesus is coming to baptism for something different. As a model for us in all of those things, absolutely. To fulfill Scripture, absolutely. But he's coming to fulfill all righteousness. You see, we begin to talk about baptism just a little bit for Methodist history, and many of you know this, but around the world, infant baptism, baptism with little bits of water instead of fully submersion, that's the norm for the absolute vast majority of Christians. Now, in our area in the Southeast, where we're Protestant and then breaked off into all kinds of different denominations every time we disagree with each other, we have different ways of seeing this. It's the truth. I'm not lying, though. We have different ways of seeing this. And so I'm going to give you just a little bit of a kind of way to understand it if you ever enter into those congregations, into those conversations, because today in Matthew 3, we see this modeled, right? Sometimes we see baptism as only being able to be the profession of faith and the act of receiving God's grace, and that they have to come together. They have to happen at the same time. So we talk about believer's baptism, and we do believe in that. If somebody were to come forward and never been baptized again and they want to repent and make a public profession of faith, we do those together. Now, in the moment of actual baptism, it's about baptism. And in the liturgy that leads up to it, we reject evil and all of its forces. We say and profess publicly our belief in Jesus Christ as Lord. Because in our church and in the vast majority of churches around the world, profession of faith and the grace of God through baptism can also be separate. right? We see that in Jesus' baptism. It's not a profession of faith. He's Jesus. He's God. It's not an act of repentance and washing away his sin. He was sinless and blameless, right? It's an act of God's grace. We're going to talk about what kind of grace in just a second. We look at the thief on the cross. What did Jesus say to him? Do you remember? Today you will be with me in paradise. And it was true. We're not told that they took the thief down and baptized him and then put him back. And then he went to heaven. We have this repentance, this public profession of faith. But it doesn't carry with it the act of baptism. You see, we're given a model right here in verse 15. Jesus answered, "Allow me to be baptized now. This is necessary to fulfill all righteousness." So John agreed to baptize Jesus. It is necessary to fulfill all righteousness, to live as the grace of God incarnate in the world, to be the fulfillment of prophecy, to be the fulfillment of the reconciliation and reuniting that we've waited for since the beginning of creation, right? To be this moment, Jesus gets baptized to signify to us this moment of unity with God. Now we know that this starts his earthly ministry, right? It's this moment right here that begins it. And if we jump to verse 17 that I just shared with you, we find something else. Jesus is named, Jesus is claimed, and Jesus is commissioned in this moment. And going along with commissioned, you might also say sustained because of the power of the Holy Spirit there. You see, this is Jesus' anointing for ministry as well. Anointing was a part of their heritage and culture. And there's so much wrapped up in this moment of baptism for us and for all. There's more than just this, but this was a part of Jesus' anointing. This was a part of being sent. This was a part of saying, I have been sitting on it for a long time, and now it's time to do and be who God created me to be. That's what you do with your baptism. Does that make sense? And so he is named, he is claimed, and he is commissioned. When we have a baptism, we say out what we would call their Christian name. Have you ever heard people talk about that? What's your Christian name? You don't get a different name. It just means your first name. And a lot of times it had to do with a name from the Bible. But we name them, we give them that name, and we claim them for God. And God says, this is my son who I dearly love. He names him and claims him. And in our baptism, we are named and we are claimed. Not because our parents wrote it on a little piece of paper that we gave them here at the church. You are named because God already loved you, because God already had a plan for you, because Jesus had already come to be a child, to be baptized, to live a life, to go to the cross, to rise again, and to wait for us one day. You were on his mind. When he came out of the grave, your name was on his lips. This is in this moment of baptism. In this naming, we are given our purpose. In this naming, we are given meaning. In this naming, we are given a mission. Now, we're not told that Jesus stood up and said, hey, did you hear that? God loves me. I'll see you guys in heaven. No. There's work to do. It's time to gather the people. It's time to live what I'm here to live. And it's time to teach others to do the same thing too. Jesus is commissioned in that moment. Now, was he always commissioned? Absolutely. But in this moment, in this model and symbol for us, in this moment of where a real substance becomes a part of God's divine grace for us, Jesus is commissioned for this life of ministry. We see this through the coming of the Holy Spirit for him. He tells his people when he's getting ready to go up to heaven, when he knows the end is coming, he tells them, one will come after me who's even more powerful than me. And you will continue to do all the things that I have done. And he's talking about the Spirit of God, his Spirit. My friends, we are called into that same ministry. We pass through these waters. Now, these waters came from Clarksville Gas and Water. Right? But nothing can be neither created nor destroyed. These are the waters that were here at creation. These are the waters that hovered up over the surface of the earth. These are the waters that filled up from the bottom and made the rivers that were named. These are the waters that we talked about earlier of tears, of the Jordan that were parted. These are the waters that spilled from Jesus. These are the waters that breaks out when new life comes into this world. These are the waters that we can't go more than what? A couple days without? Or we die. These are the waters that make up somebody smarter than me. What, like 80% of our bodies? Right? 75? Appreciate that, baby. These are the waters. So what do we do with our baptism? Now, if you'd like to, we often hear people would love to get their hymnals out. You're welcome to get your hymnal out right now. We're going to be on page 34. Page 34, it says Baptism Covenant 1. I'm going to get to that in a second. Thank you. Now, throughout the history of the church, we've had this service where we've reaffirmed our baptism, and you've probably come forward and they've said to you, remember your baptism and be thankful, and you've walked away thinking, I was baptized in an infant, I don't remember anything, why am I doing this, it's weird. But that's a wrong translation of what we mean when we say remember. What we mean, as you come forward today and touch the waters, is remember that you are baptized and be thankful. Remember that you are named, that you are claimed, and that you are commissioned, and that you are sustained through the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember those things to go and do and be all that Jesus Christ has called us to go and do and be in this world. So we're going to remind ourselves this morning a little bit right now and then say it together. We're going to remind ourselves of what we committed to at our baptism, what we committed to when we were raising up children who were baptized, what we committed to as congregations every time we've done a reaffirmation of our baptism service. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? I do. We renounce evil. We can have no part in evil. We cannot allow it. We cannot abide it. We cannot benefit from it. We cannot pretend like it doesn't exist. We renounce it. We reject it. We repent of the ways that we've participated in it. That is what we have agreed to. Next, it goes a little bit further along this same theme. It says, do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? I do. Now, this is the one that I get emails about. And it doesn't happen often, but it does happen. You're just talking about something that's too political. You've probably thought that when I talk about gun control after a school shooting. Now, we've never told you who to vote for or anything like that. We don't even dive into specific policies and whether you should vote for those or whatever that looks like. We may talk about the character of someone. We may talk about who our leaders are called to be. We may talk about who we're supposed to be together as a civilization, right? We'll give you an example. Did y'all know that in 1743, John Wesley told Methodists they could not, should not, would not own slaves. 1743, I remember 1865, Civil War, right? Emancipation. A little bit later, we have Juneteenth. 1743, 100 years before we sort of kind of got it, you were not allowed to own slaves. In the 1750s, he said, okay, you guys in the South, you weren't listening. If you own slaves, you are kicked out of the church. You cannot be a part of the church. You are excommunicated. Still didn't quite get it. In 1780, he told the pastors that they had to keep their clergy orders and be a part of the church, work on behalf of emancipation and abolition. We were some of the early abolitionists. They were to preach this, and I guarantee you, they got letters that said, we shouldn't be talking about politics. We shouldn't be talking about economics. You shouldn't talk about my business and my personal property and my rights. We are kingdom first, my friends. Kingdom first. We are people of the kingdom. We are people of the water before we are ever anything else. We are nursed in a womb of water through a miracle of God. We are kingdom first people, the kingdom of God. All other allegiances come second. Man, that's tough. That's hard to live out. People talk about you on social media if you do that. You can't go to certain places. Who we are as a people of God cannot abide evil and injustice and oppression in whatever form it presents itself. And the language here that we use actually doesn't get to the strength of the tone that it was intended to where you have to work on behalf of righting the wrongs. Right? And that makes it tough because we can no longer say, well, I vote party and watch what happens without actively working for them to not do some of the things that all of them do. It makes it hard because we have to think about our rights and not whether they're just our rights, but whether they're right in the waters of God. We hold everything up through this lens, the lens that God gave us, the lens that God initiated us into the family of God with us, the lens of grace that has been here since the beginning, waiting and calling on us to bring us home, the lens that will give us and sustain us to be the people that God has called us to be, to live a life of ministry that could even end in our torture and death when we stand up for what is right and good and just and against evil and injustice and oppression. The next section says, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in unison with the church that Christ has opened to all people of all ages, nations, and races. If you do, say, I do. We're people of God first. And as much as I think as Methodists we've gotten some things right, we've gotten some things wrong. We are people of God. We are Christians, united with our brothers and sisters around the globe, whether they think us sprinkling babies is wrong or not. Right? And for all of the other reasons we've chosen to be divided. We our brothers and sisters together. We confessed it at our baptism. We agreed to it each time we got together and did this service. With all people everywhere. Doesn't matter their nation, Israeli or Palestinian, Doesn't matter their race, black or white. All people. The next one says that we will remain faithful. We will remain faithful to Christ's holy church. We will not be a part of the group that claims I'm spiritual, not religious. And it's not to dig at them. It's to say we know that a life of faith, and you're here, so I'm preaching to the choir quite literally. We know that a life of faith is sustained in a community. We know that we are called to be in relationship with each other, even when sometimes we might not like each other. That we are called to forgive. That we are called to hold each other accountable. That we are called to be like a family of God. Not a family like our earthly family. We can take the good parts of that and bring it forward, but maybe we leave some of the other parts behind. We are called to be the family of God. We also agree that we will serve as Christ's representatives in the world. We will not sit by and watch. We will represent Christ in the world. In whatever way that's necessary, in whatever place that is necessary. And we do that many times through fighting injustice and oppression in all ways that it rears its ugly head, and fighting sin and the powers that lead to death. That is part of what we do with our baptism. It's not our fire insurance policy, right? It's not our ticket that got punched and we figured it out. I don't think you've ever thought that. I don't know many people who have. We're not that naive. That's a straw man we set up for other people, right? But we are called and baptized to be this people of God. Now today, we are going to reaffirm our baptism. Now, I want to tell you this today so that you can know. If you've been baptized, whether in our church or anywhere else, if you were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sustainer, you are welcome at our waters. If you have not been baptized, you don't have to get baptized to come forward. You are welcome to still come forward and to touch the waters and think about what baptism means for you and whether you might want to get baptized or not. And you can tell me that in private, or we can talk about it or not. It's up to you, right? But I don't want anybody to feel like they can't come forward because they might have been a part of a different baptism denomination, or maybe they haven't even been baptized at all. You are welcome at these waters of grace. Sisters and brothers in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift to us, offered without price.
Today, we come to the waters to renew our commitments in each other's presence, to Christ who has raised us, the Spirit who has birthed us, and the Creator who is making all things new.
Now, at this time, I'm going to invite you to stand for the remaining of our liturgy. It's not that long. Stand in body or in spirit as you are able. The parts that I normally say to you, will you repent? Will you do this? We are going to say together as statements. And so I ask you, will you turn away from the powers of sin and death? We renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness. Reject the evil powers of this world and repent of our sin.
Will you let the Spirit use you as prophets to the powers that be?
We accept the freedom and power God gives us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. Will you proclaim the good news and live as disciples of Jesus Christ, his body? We confess Jesus as our Savior, put our whole spirit in his grace, and promise to serve him as our Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races.
Will you be living witnesses to the gospel, individually and together, wherever you are and in all that you do?
We will remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world. Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of God, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Almighty God, the life you birthed in us by baptism into Jesus Christ will never die. Your justice never fails. Your mercy is everlasting.
Your healing river flows. Your spirit blows where you will. We cannot stop you, God. Live within us, Holy Spirit. Live within these waters. Let these waters be drops of your mercy. Let these waters remind us of your righteousness and justice. Let these waters renew in us the resurrection power of Jesus.
Let these waters make us long for your coming rain. Most holy God, Abba, Father, glory to you. Jesus Christ, Savior, Lord,
glory to you.
Spirit of fire, Spirit over the waters, Spirit of holiness,
glory to you.
Eternal God, one in three and three in one,
all glory is yours now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated at this point. As the music begins playing, we are going to invite you to come forward as you would like. You don't have to take an order. If you just happen to be orderly, it's okay. We're methodical Methodists. There are two bowls that you will notice up front, and there's also one in the back. You're welcome to come forward all the way to the front and take a moment at the prayer rail if you would like to. You're also welcome to go to the one that is in the back and to use it there. I invite you, as we had our Thanksgiving over the water, and remind you that these are the waters created in the beginning that sustain us in all that we do, that give us real life, that give us eternal life, that give us God's grace of sustaining life. And so today I'm going to invite you, as you come forward and whichever bowl you might go to, you're welcome to simply just touch the water. And myself or Mary Kate will be standing near each of them and reminding you to remember that you are baptized and to be thankful. If you would like to take home a remembrance of today, in each of the bowls are some seashells. And you can reach in and you can grab one and you can take it with you if you like. The ancient symbol of baptism is a seashell with three drops of water for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit coming off of it. You're welcome to take one today. I'm going to invite Pastor Mary Kate to come forward. And remind you one more time that these are the waters. And I'll get you to take one more to the back and go back there. Beautiful and baptized children of God, God loves you. God has named you. God has claimed you. And it's our turn to not forget that God has commissioned us to a ministry like Jesus. And that God is still calling us, all ages, all nations, all races, all people. Come to the waters, my friend. Remember that you are baptized and be thankful.